Well, we thought.
There we go. That feels better. It might have been better muted. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But it has been good to be with you for these 3 weeks. Your pastor has stretched me in terms of giving me instructions on what I'm to preach on. I've been preaching on parables, and it's been a good experience for me. I hope it hasn't been too painful for you. I especially want to thank Kevin. You have an extraordinary team, of which Kevin is a newer part of that team, and part of his job is to put together the slides for Sunday. And imagine in the normal routine of life, he usually gets these by Thursday. Last night, I think he got them by 10 o'clock. And you are less nervous than Julie was, because at about 9 o'clock, I was thinking, I want to go in a totally different direction with this tomorrow. And she said, no, I think it's time. You need to land the plane. We need to do something here. As promised, the blessed books are out in the lobby. And for some of you, you were kind of surprised that I followed through on that. So I'm not sure what's behind all of that, but I'm pretty good about, you know, committing to what I promised to. I'm asking you to do this. On the inside of the blessed book, I'd like you to open it. I'd like you to put your name in there, and I'd like you to put the 10 names of people that God has put on your heart that you're going to begin to develop this blessed relationship, and that you're going to see come to faith in Jesus Christ. And then if you'll just do this, just put a check mark or a date when they come to faith in Jesus Christ. You say, wait a minute, I'm just taking a book, I'm reading a book, I'm just doing this thing. We had one of our churches to take this on as a task, and they began to pray through those 10 people in each one of their books and saw some incredible things going. Since this is my last Sunday, I want to say a few thank yous. My good friend Lindy Peterson is here with us this morning. She's been watching online for 2 Sundays. And I'm telling you, if you ever need a great cheerleader, if you don't know who she is, she's sitting right over here. And she will bless you big. And but the other group that I wanted to recognize this morning, if you've been here for at least 25 years, would you stand? If you've been a member of this church for 25 years or more, would you stand? Now look around the room right there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. I just want to pray a blessing over these folks. And again, you know, give me a little grace today. Let me do some things kind of this way. But I can remember 25 years ago when I came into this position, came to this church at the downtown location. we were kind of shrinking in size. It was an older congregation. And I really appreciate the foresight and the passion and the vision of these folks. I'm sure they had their special favorite seat over at the other sanctuary. I know that because when I was there, if they weren't in their seat, I knew that something was wrong. But here they are sitting in these seats, moving around and this kind of thing. So just for a moment, if you will join me in blessing what God is doing in this place. Father, thank you this morning for what you're doing at First Baptist Church in Elgin, Texas. God, thank you for this beautiful new home that that they have built under your leadership. And Father, we invite you, your presence, your Holy Spirit into this place today. And God, we pray that we would continue to see new faces, new families, new lives transformed with the message and the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's in your name I pray. Amen. You all have been kind to accommodate my preference. And one of the things that I enjoy doing is standing in honor and reverence of God's word as it's read. Will you stand with me this morning as we read from Luke chapter 8? We'll be looking at verses 4 through 15. I want to say it again. I want to say it every time I have an opportunity to look at God's word. Reading God's word alone has power to impact your life. Jesus was followed by groups of people, and he would tell stories. So imagine this morning, as I read and as you follow along, that Jesus himself is speaking this story and you're a recipient of it. So you're going to have to, for just a second, step away from the location where you're at, and you're going to have to hear the story, or you're going to get to hear the story in that context. Now when I finish, don't sit down, because I want us to also pray into this day. It says, as a large crowd was gathering and people were flocking to him from every town, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And he was sowing, some fell along the path, it was trampled on, and the birds of the sky, they ate it up. Other seed fell on the rock, When it sprang up, it withered since it lacked moisture. Other seed fell among thorns. The thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Still other seed fell on good ground. When it sprang up, it produced a crop, 100 times what was sown. And he said this. He called out, "Anyone who has ears to hear should listen." Then his disciples asked, "What does this parable mean?" So he said, "The secrets of the kingdom of God have been given for you to know, but to the rest it is in parables, so that looking they may not see and hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. The seed along the path are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the seed on the rock are those who, when they hear, welcome the word with joy. Having no root, though, these believe for a while and depart in a time of testing. As for the seed that fell among thorns, these are the ones who, when they have heard, go on their way and are choked with worries, riches, and pleasures of life, and produce no mature fruit. But the seed in the good ground, these are the ones who, having heard the word with an honest and good heart, hold to it, and by enduring, bear fruit. So I want to ask you to remain standing, and here's the request we're going to make of the Lord this morning. We're going to ask the Lord that our lives would be fertile soil, that as His word is spoken this morning, that it would take proper root, and it would mature and do good things. Will you join me in this prayer? So Father, this morning we have in our song time, we have prayed for your Holy Spirit to come, and we have welcomed you here. And God, we have read from your word, and God, in that, God, just in the speaking of your word, invites you and your presence. But very intentionally now, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit might come in this place, that there might be nothing in our lives that would distract us, that would keep us, Lord, from hearing and knowing and doing your word. God, in that passage, all of them heard. They heard sounds. But God, only in that good soil did they listen. Did they put into actions the things that they had heard. I pray today, God, that there would be no distraction. I pray that as in the reference to the path that the devil took away the seed, I pray, God, nothing other than the presence of Jesus Christ would be allowed in this place and in this room. So God, I bless this place with your presence. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now the story is not that difficult. You look at the story, you have a sower. It says the sower sowed his seed. The sower is Jesus. It says very specifically in the passage that the seed is the word of God. So Jesus is sowing his word. Jesus is speaking his word. And throughout the story, what Jesus is telling us, that there are certain designations of people's lives or conditions of their heart that either allow them to be open and receptive to God's word or not. As I've been reading over this passage, which is typical for me as I'm preparing for a sermon, I'll read the passage over and over again. It's amazing to me because this parable is in more than one gospel. The other two Sundays that I've preached for you, that parable was in one of the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And this particular passage of Scripture, if you look for your notes on the bulletin that you've got there, it's in three different gospels. Now, is it so that we can look and make sure that every single word is exactly the same? Well, no, not necessarily. But what it does is it adds light and life as we read to it in other translations, in other narrative kinds of forms. One of the things that Julie and I talked about last night as we were talking about this whole sower and seed mentality is that you and I, as Christ followers, there's a sense at which we are sowers, we are sharers of God's word to other people. And before we break in and get into the story, I want to talk about that for just a moment. If Christ has come into our life, and if we have become satisfied in Him, if our life has been transformed with Jesus, then what we ought to do is we ought to share that with other people. The phrase, out of the outflow of our heart, is found in Scripture.
fact, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, it says, a good man produces good out of the good storeroom of his heart. An evil man produces evil out of the evil storeroom, for his mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34 say these words, for the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. What this means is that what we say reflects what's in our heart. You all hopefully are going to take one of these blessed books, and you're not going to take it just so that you can read some good words, but hopefully, prayerfully, you're going to put this into action and you're going to share Jesus with other people. But what I want to begin with to tell you is this: you can't share something that you don't have. You can't share something, you can't share of a relationship that you yourself are not a part of. Let me give you an illustration. Last Sunday, I was not able to be with you because we were in Waco, Texas for my nephew's wedding. And man, I love weddings. It is just so fun for me. I just got to tell you, I like watching the groom when he sees his bride for the first time. And this guy's melting, crying, you know, he's just blown away with the, you know, the beauty of that. I love going to weddings. But I also like to go to weddings because I like to interact with my family and my friends. And you know what was interesting? I didn't have to develop a speech. I didn't have to develop a talk about how I was going to tell everybody about my fantastic grandchildren. I mean, have you noticed that? I mean, if you're grandparents, you just got the pictures ready to go. You can tell anybody anytime about that. You can even change an entire conversation and direct it into your grandkids because you just love your grandkids so much. You get where I'm going with this. The things that you love in your life, the things that are transformational in your life, you don't have to work it up. You don't have to think about how you're going to share it because it just kind of comes out of your life. And as we talk about these soils on which we plant, you're going to encounter people in your life that their life might be described as a path. That one to me is pretty extraordinary because it says the path, the hard-packed ground, literally represents people who hear the word, but because of the impact and the influence of the devil, very specifically the devil, the evil one, they just can't believe. They can't get it. They can't hold on to it. It talks about those that the seed that falls on the thorny ground, and it talks about how that, you know, the issues there are that they're so wrapped up in all the things of their life that they just really don't have time to get into that. And then it talks about the rocky soil. So I want to ask you this morning, are you telling people, are you sharing Jesus with other people, and are you, out of the outflow of your heart, giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ? So that's another whole sermon for another whole time. Let's get down to the business at hand today. And I want to share with you how to make our hearts, how to prepare our hearts to become good soil and hear Jesus through His Holy Spirit. How can you, how can I, in my life, prepare my life in such a way that I'm able to not only hear from God, but I can listen? You say, what's the difference? Well, if I clap my hands like that, that's a sound that comes out from my hands, and you hear that. There's not much to listen to from that in terms of a descriptive kind of thing. But these folks, they were just hearing noise. When they listen and when they act upon it, it transforms them. Let me go back through the passage very quickly. If you've got your Bible open, you can follow along. It says, the seed along the path, verse 12, are those who heard. Then the devil comes along and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Verse 13, and the seed on the rock are those who hear, welcome the word with joy, having no root, these believe for a while and depart in time of testing. Verse 14, and those, that seed that fell among the thorns are those ones, when they have heard, go on their way and are choked with worries, riches, pleasures in life and produce no mature fruit. But the seed, and this is where we're going to focus this morning, but the seed in the good ground are those who, having heard the word with an honest and a good heart, they heard, they listen, and what do? Hold on to it, and by enduring, bear fruit. It goes on to say that the fruit that fell on the good soil produced a 100-fold return. What does this mean in our life? How do I, how do you, in our Christian life, have a harvest, have a maturity such that we are producing something? So these are the seven things that I give you this morning. If you're taking notes, jot these down. Number one, step number one on making our hearts good soil for hearing Jesus through His Holy Spirit is cultivating an openness and a humility to God. Cultivating an openness and a humility to God. We need to approach God with a humble and an open heart, willing to receive His guidance and His instruction and His correction. Are you in your daily walk and in your daily life, are you saying, God, what is your word saying to me? What are you telling me in your word, God, that I can put into play in my life? We should be like David in Psalm 137, Psalm 137, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. If we want our hearts receptive toward God, we need to be open and we need to be humble before Him. That means when we're reading God's word, we're not reading it saying, hey God, I want you to make this mean what I want it to mean. But it's an openness to say, God, what are you speaking into my life? And God, what should I do as a result of that relationship with you? Step number two, if you and I, if we are trying to prepare and make our hearts good soil, we have times of prayer and reflection in our life. I'll say it again, as I said the past two Sundays. Thank you so very much for blessing your pastor with this, what we would call a sabbatic leave, an extended time away for him to pray and to reflect and seek the Lord. And I know what you're saying. Hey, wait, nobody's giving me a sabbatic leave. Well, you know, if that opens up and that opportunity presents itself, we'll make that available to you. But especially for pastors, it's an opportunity for them to step away and to reflect and seek God. I talked to him 2 days ago. In fact, I texted him this morning. And 2 days ago, I said, how has it been? Have you relaxed? Have you reflected? Has God told you some things? And I have a feeling over the next couple of months, you're going to get kind of an overflow of some of the things that God has spoken into your life. We need to regularly pray. We need to regularly meditate and be attuned to God's Holy Spirit speaking in our life. We've talked about the fact that prayer is an intimate conversation between us and God. And when we pray and when we reflect and when we seek God in our lives, we are preparing the soil for Him to work. Number one, we cultivate an openness and humility. Number two, we pray and we reflect. Number three, we study Scripture. Engage with your Bible. Understand God's Word. Recognize what it is that God is speaking in your life. This morning, as I again was reading this passage of Scripture, preparing my heart for today, I began to look through all of the things that take place in Luke chapter 9. And it's amazing to me. I don't know that I'll get it all right, but we'll see how good my memory is. At the beginning of Luke chapter 8, he's talking about the people that have supported him, especially some women that have followed he and his disciples around. Then he gives the parable of the seed and the sower. Then he talks about literally who are his brothers. He then talks about an experience where the disciples are in a boat going across, and he calms the winds and the rain. He casts out demons out of a guy. He then heals Jairus' daughter and a lady with an issue of blood. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a pretty intense day if all of that happened in a 24-hour time period. But it says in Scripture that Jesus himself got up a great while before day and spent time with his heavenly Father. And you and I need to do the same thing. Step number three, study Scripture. Step number four, here's a tough one. Practice obedience. Practice obedience. Being obedient to what God's Word says, what His Holy Spirit gives us, a sensitivity to God's guidance in our life. As you begin to read God's Word, as you come into relationship with God's Word, we begin to be presented with opportunities for us to be obedient and follow God. Or we have an opportunity to say, God, I reject that and I'm going to do my own way. By being obedient, by being listeners not just hearers. God can do great things. God does not speak to you anything that is contrary to His Word. And so often people will tell me, well, I've got this sense that God is telling me this. And I just tell them, what does this line up with Scripture? How does it line up with God's Word? I would tell you this, if you are not obedient to what God is telling you, your heart will become hard and you won't hear His voice clearly. The path, the rocky, and the thorny soil will be the condition of your heart if you fail to practice obedience. Step number five, seeking fellowship and community. So can I tell you how proud I am that you have faithfully come to be a part of church here on Sunday? I hope you avail yourself of Bible study opportunities, small group opportunities, discipleship opportunities. In fact, this morning, Kevin and I were visiting about new opportunities that are going to come for you to come together, to fellowship together, and to develop community with one another. But one of the things that I want to tell you, as you develop that fellowship and community, always have in mind that open chair, that open place for people who are coming in that they might hear and be a part of what God's doing here. Remember, in all of those different soils, the path, the rocky, the thorny, those people are hearing something, but until they begin to get engaged, until they begin to interact with the things of God, it's just not there. And community and fellowship are a great way to draw people into your church and your community. Step number six, remove distractions. Remove distractions in your life. If you want that soil of your life to be what God would have it to be, that God can penetrate and deeply grow His Word into your life, we need to remove distractions, worries. Scripture says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You say, wow, Dave, you memorized that verse. I need that verse. I need that verse in my life. And one of the ways that I deal with worries is by a scripture memory process. How about material pursuits? How about pleasures in this life? And there are all kinds of scriptures that you and I can learn that will help us to remove the distractions, or what I call the thorns in our life that choke out the spiritual growth. We need to prioritize our spiritual life over anything else. And then finally, and in no particular order, for us to have the soil in the right place to do what God would want, we need to repent and we need to confess. We need to repent and we need to confess. We come to God, and in this relationship, as God and His Holy Spirit are speaking to us, when we come into contact with something that we're not doing that's pleasing to God, we repent. Lord, I confess to you. I don't need to be doing this. I don't need to be involved in this. And we repent, which means to turn and go the other way. I would say it to you this way. We need to ask the Lord to make our hearts tender. I mean, imagine if on a daily basis you were to pray a prayer something like this. Lord, remove any hardness, cares of this world, pride, that's keeping me from hearing your words to me. Now, I would suggest to you that if our heart is right, if the soil of our life is right, these seven things, probably along with many, many others, will be absolutely the characterization of what our life is all about. But I would also tell you this, that if the soil of our life is right and our relationship with God is where it is, that's where we find ourselves in that sweet spot of sharing our faith with other people. God bless me beyond anything that I could imagine. Thankfully, I came to the realization of that before they passed. But my parents were incredible. My dad was the guy that he would share Jesus with people every single day. And it was as natural as, how was your day? It was good. If he saw somebody that was distracted, you know, with their day, or they seemed to have a difficult time, he would go to them regularly and say, listen, you seem like you're having a tough day. Would it be okay if I pray for you? And you say, that would be so weird. I'm just telling you, with my dad, it was the most natural thing in the world. And I have seen people that I was like going, Dad, I think I would pass on this one. And he would just walk into it, and the grace of God would just cover him. But my mom was the same way. My mom died a few years ago. She had breast cancer, then she had bone cancer, then she had lung cancer, and she finally went to be with the Lord after a period of time with brain cancer. I mean, she spent about 30 years of her life in some form of treatment in terms of radiation, chemo, and these kinds of things. And I can remember when it moved to bone cancer, she had had a particular doctor for a period of time, and he said, Mrs. Smith, he said, you seem to have such a great disposition about life. And she said, oh, man, I'm telling you, I'm going to be with Jesus. So whatever happens here, I'm going to be with Jesus. And it was so interesting because they asked her, they said, we want you to be a part of our support group. We have a support team of people to get together, talk about how that they can handle and deal that. And she said, I don't know if you want me there, because if I'm going to the support group, we're talking about the Bible and we're singing hymns. And the guy goes, man, lady, you can do whatever you want. You just seem to be happy. And so my mom calls me up, says, hey, I need 25 Bibles, 25 hymnals. Yes, ma'am. I got them to her. And she brought the group together and said, let's just pray. I gave you bracelets that say God is big enough, but the other bracelet, this was my father-in-law came up with that. My mom came up with a bracelet, a little blue one. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to tease her about that. Her said, in God we trust. And she liked that more than the other one because she said, I just don't want people to believe or to, you know, wear that band and believe that they're going to get healed, because they might not get healed on earth. They might get healed in heaven. And the thing that I'm going to tease her about is she wanted a blue band with white letters with a red little heart on it. And it's so fun. You know how moms are. And I said, Mom, if I get the red heart on it, it's going to cost me twice as much as it would if I just have the blue band with the white letters. And she's looking at me like going, what? It's like, you know how that mom idiot, do it? Yes, yes, ma'am, absolutely. We'll get the red heart right on that. Paid twice as much for the bands, but it was her way of sharing her faith. I share all of that to say this. If our hearts are where they need to be with the Lord, and the soil of our life is receptive to God's word, then not only will we be attractional to other people because they're seeing something unique and different and amazing about our life, but we will naturally share Jesus with them. In your life, you've got somebody over the course of your life that's had that kind of relationship that you go, man, I wish I could share Jesus like that. So let's go back to my grandpa illustration. Nobody had to coach me or train me to tell you how amazing my grandchildren are. Because I know them and I love them and it's just a part of who I am. And I want to grow in my love and the soil of my life to grow in such a way that Jesus is so all over me that it just kind of oozes out to other people. And you live in a community. We live in a world that needs Jesus. And maybe it is that God puts you in your neighborhood and in your work and in your place of business with the friends that you have because maybe you're the person that God is going to entrust to share Jesus with them. So not only are we learning about the great sower spreading the seed of his word, but today I challenge you, where are you in sharing God's word with other people? I want to close our time in prayer, but as I've done for the past two times that I've been with you, I want to share with you this morning how that you might give your life to Jesus Christ if you've not given your life to him. We pray, it says in Scripture, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's what it takes. That's what it requires. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. If you're a Christian this morning, I want to invite you to pray along with me as an in agreement that this is what you have done in your relationship with Christ. If you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, I invite you to pray along with us in that prayer this morning and give your life to Jesus. I believe you are not here by accident. I believe God drew you here. You came because a friend invited you. And it would be tragic for you to leave here without having given your life to Jesus Christ. So I'm going to pray and I would ask you to join me out loud as I pray this prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house. God, we thank you for the gift of your Son. And that this gift gives us eternal life. God, we confess that we need you. And we believe in our heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life. In your name I pray. Amen. First Baptist Elgin, what a treat it has been for me to be with you these three Sundays. I look forward to seeing how God's going to continue to work and move. I hope that every time I come, I have to introduce myself to just about everybody because so many new people are coming in. Now, if God moves you to another location, guess what? God's just entrusting you to be a missionary in that new location. But while you're here, let me encourage you to develop a soil that is receptive to God's word.